In a world grappling with joblessness, broken homes, and a crisis of purpose, we ask, why does work matter?
There are a thousand answers to that. The one I like is that work makes us like God.
Well, because God works.
Work matters because you are a provider, and work gives you an avenue for providing for your family.
But that question betrays that a job's not just a 9-to-5 hobby, right? It's an opportunity to bless people. It's an opportunity to bless people at scale.
But the reality is that money is intensely important to Dominion.
I'm Kyle Hessler. I'm a salesman, real estate investor, wrestling promoter, father, husband, and a Christian. And I want to invite you to the first ever Workspace Conference in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, where we aim to glorify God through our work. Come and learn from speakers David Bonson, C.R. Wiley, Steve Jeffrey, David Reese, and Andrew Krapschitz as we explore the theology of work, how vocations shape cultural dominion, understanding risk, and how to invest not just now, but in future generations. This conference is about action, not just theories. Join us for a prime hub of networking, career growth, and fellowship. We are building a community of impactful connections and collaborative endeavors that seek to extend beyond a single weekend. Join us June 28th and 29th at the Hilton in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. Tickets available at workspace.com. This is more than just a conference. This is a commitment to glorifying God in our work, because we aren't saved by our good works. We are saved by Christ for our good works.
We're doing it live! Hey y'all, welcome to Cross Politic. We are live. Like, I'm sitting here talking to you right now. And it's like, and Pastor Toby's here too.
Like they believe you.
Like, I'm live. I need to be able to answer questions too. That was part of... I don't have it in front of me. Neil, can you send me the link? Neil, thank you. Welcome to Cross Politic. We have a Dr. Owen Anderson... who is a certified jujitsu, and he's a killer. Yeah, the main reason why I've got him on, because he's a killer. Coming on the show to talk about stuff that's going on in Arizona State. He's a pastor and suing ASU.
Yeah,
so we gotta hear about that in a minute.
Jesus is Lord in public and in private. Every area of life must be subject to His lordship, and our use of technology is no exception. What captures our attention on the screen either glorifies or dishonors our Lord. That's why accountable to you, that's the word accountable, the number two, the word you, is committed to promoting biblical accountability in our families and churches. Their monitoring and reporting software makes transparency easy on all of your devices, so you can say with the psalmist, I will not set anything worthless before my eyes. Guard against temptation with accountable to you and live for God's glory. Learn more today and try it for free at accountabletoyou.com/FLF. Again, that's accountable, the number two, the word you.com/FLF.
That's great.
We're really grateful to have with us Dr. Owen Anderson. He's pastor and professor, teaches and is published in philosophy, religious studies, and theology. He's also a certified jujitsu instructor. You're right. That's what it says right there. Yeah. Currently, he's in a lawsuit against Arizona State University, where he teaches over mandatory DEI training. Dr. Anderson, thanks for joining us on Cross Politic.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, why are you pushing DEI on Arizona? ASU, I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm trying to make everybody take DEI classes.
So what kind of restraining hold do you have ASU in right now?
Well, I think we're just about to finish an armbar on them because they don't really have a case at all.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, back up. What's going
on? How do we get here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So your audience probably knows DEI stands for diversity, equity, inclusion. And in one sense, those are all positive words. And they kind of get into the university, especially state universities, because they serve such a big population. Mm-hmm. You need to have training classes on how to work together with people that don't agree with you, and especially classes on how to help students who might have unique challenges they face. But what's actually happened is DEI has become a training course for anti-Christian Marxism. And so I got a notification 2 years ago, and it said you have to take this required DEI training.
As a professor, because you're a professor of philosophy at ASU.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I teach philosophy, religious studies, teach religion in America, where we get to do things like focus on Charles Hodge and Benjamin Warfield.
Nice.
That's so amazing.
Great, great stuff.
Yeah.
But I get this email saying you got to take this mandatory training. So I look into it, and the training is all about how the United States is a white supremacist country and was founded in white supremacism and how we all need to learn how to identify whiteness and fight against whiteness. And then it has a whole section on sexual identity stuff about how the big problem in the world, and this is a scary problem, is something called heteronormativity. Ah. And I can't even say it without laughing. Like, the problem in our world is heteronormativity, but they want you to be aware of that, or else you'll become a homophobe, which according to them is a terrible thing to be. Wow. And so I said, I'm not going to take this. On top of that, there is a quiz attached to it, which means that in order to pass the training, you have to take this quiz, which is compelled speech. So it'll have like a true false question. It'll say true or false. Heteronormativity is the biggest problem we face in our day. And you got to put true.
Right.
But of course, I don't agree with that.
That's interesting how binary that is.
I know, isn't it, right? True or false. So I left the quiz alone. I didn't take it. Eventually, it showed up as past due. So if you look at my portal right now, it says mandatory required class is past due, and it's in red, like to really catch your attention.
Right.
And so what I did was I started a Substack. So you guys probably know Substack, where a lot of conservatives blog these days, Substack.com. And I started just under my name, and I started documenting the kinds of things that I'm seeing going on at ASU, because it's what parents generally know, that universities are liberal,
right?
But it's way worse than you think it is. I mean, we had our honors college had an event about the benefits of witchcraft. We had an event last week at ASU called The Politics of Perverts, which is glorifying the word pervert, sexual perversion, and how people need to get involved in perversion and politics. So I'm documenting this stuff on the Substack, and then the Goldwater Institute contacted me, and they're a local think tank. Well, they're actually national, but they're a think tank, basically libertarian and leaning in the sense of trying to make sure government doesn't overreach. Right. And so they're involved in lawsuits like that. And they contacted me and said, hey, I think there's a case here because ASU has overstepped its bounds. It's violating a state law in Arizona, which says you can't require training and use taxpayer money for training that involves race blame. Hmm. And this clearly involves race blame.
Wow.
So they're representing me. We're actually going, the case is against the Arizona Board of Regents for not giving oversight to ASU, but really it's about ASU offering these classes.
Right. Right.
And so what's the status? I mean, you've joined this lawsuit. Where are we at right now?
Yeah. So we got three parts to the claims. The one is that you have mandatory DEI training. The second part is that the content involves race blame.
Right.
And the third part is the compelled speech on the quizzes. So it sounds like ASU has backed off the quizzes at this point, and we're waiting to get that certified through their lawyers. So that's one out of three down. But the content stuff, I mean, I really don't think ASU wants its name on this content. What's happened so far is the ASU spokesman came out and said, it's not really required, and it's just about including everybody. And so what I did was I just showed on my Substack, it says required. You haven't changed that. Wow. And here's what the content says. So I can read some of this too, because what Goldwater did was they posted 183 pages of the transcripts on their webpage. So anyone watching can go to the Goldwater webpage and look at this. I mean, they've got classes like, what is white privilege, really? Explaining white privilege to a broke white person. Seven ways white people can combat their privilege. Those are some of the videos. How is white supremacy normalized in society? So this is required content for employees. This is what they think is really important in the ASU HR department.
Yeah.
Well, they got another great one on white fragility, because that counts. I count as white fragility, because if you don't like this content, well, you have white fragility. You should toughen up and just get over it.
Wow. Wow.
How many Christian professors would you imagine are at ASU?
You know, we're currently the largest state school in the country. So in terms of professors, instructors, we've got to have like 6,000-7,000. So out of that, if it represents the demographic somewhat, there's got to be a lot of Christians. Although the thing that happens with professors is they don't represent the demographics in the sense that they all go to the same sort of graduate programs and they all get taught the same propaganda in those programs, which is what comes out looking like this.
Right.
So it doesn't attract a lot of Christians. I know in philosophy, as a tenured philosophy professor who's reformed, I only know one other guy. I'm not saying there aren't other guys, but I only know one other guy in the country in philosophy who's tenured and reformed. So it's just not a lot.
So I guess my follow-up question is then, why are not more Christian professors at public universities speaking out? It seems like there's so much low-hanging fruit to expose and to address that – you know, but they aren't speaking out. I mean, like you are, I know of our boy, Scott Ginner down in Boise, who you might know. But I just don't see that many Christian professors speaking out on college campuses.
Yeah. Well, a couple quick reasons, I think, and there might be more, but one reason is called the chilling effect, which is a term from First Amendment law. And that just says that when you're an employer like ASU, if you speak up, you might not get fired, but there's all kinds of pressure they can bring to bear on you to let you know that they don't approve of you.
Yeah.
So you'll lose social status among the other professors. You might not get on the right kinds of committees. You might not get the classes you wanted. Mm-hmm. So people would rather just not speak up than deal with all that stuff. But then there is the bigger truth that, you know, being a professor is very competitive. It's a very hard job to get. And then once you get the job, it's very hard to get tenure and get promoted to full professor. Yeah. And so if you speak out, you really jeopardize all of those levels. You might not get a job, or if you got a job, you might not get promoted.
Right.
And so the question is, like, is it worth speaking out? And in one sense, I don't judge people for not speaking out. But for me, thinking about my condition, my situation, what I see from this DEI stuff is not just anti-America, it's really anti-Christian. Uh-huh. And so that's where once I started seeing them coming after Christian marriage, belief in God as bigoted, I said, okay, then you got to speak up at this point.
So, Dr. Anderson, what has been the effect for you? I mean, has there been a chilling effect at ASU for you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Socially for sure.
You aren't getting invited to the president's cocktails anymore. You know?
Yeah, right. I don't go to wine and cheese parties at all anymore. No invitations for me. But the thing is that with any corporation, it has to follow federal and state anti-discrimination laws. So it is somewhat hard for them to bring discipline against an employee just because they don't like you.
Yeah.
They've got to cross their T's, dot their I's. So I haven't faced any of that kind of discipline, but I've definitely faced harassment and the kind of discrimination that if it wasn't a Christian, if I wasn't a Christian or if it was someone else and this discrimination was happening, all of my colleagues would be up in arms.
Right.
But the fact that it's happening to, does it really matter?
Like what?
I've been told that actually, that it doesn't really matter.
Give us some examples. Like what are some examples of harassment or discrimination?
Yeah. So I'm in a humanities department, and last fall I'm sitting in one of our faculty meetings, and these meetings we're state employees. Yep. And these meetings, the purpose of them is to conduct business as faculty, thinking about our tuition, our enrollment, what classes we want to offer, but they always become political and I mean radical left political. For example, we read, at the very beginning of every faculty meeting, we read something called a Native American land acknowledgement. Have you guys heard of those?
What? No.
Because this happens at most state universities. So the person in charge will get up and they'll read something that says, we recognize that we're on Native American land and we want to give respect to them. And sometimes the land acknowledgement will say that land was stolen or we don't really own it, they do. Some version of that. So every meeting they get up and they read this, acknowledging that ASU is on Native American land. And so I've asked before, hey, if we're not really here to do that, that's a political statement. But if we want to spend the first 5 to 10 minutes on politics, couldn't we rotate the issue? Like, you get your Native American land acknowledgement one time, and then we kind of go to the next person. Mm-hmm. And really what it turns into, it's really a liturgy. It's a secular atheist liturgy.
Right. Uh-huh.
So instead of saying the creed,
they
get up there and they read the Native American land acknowledgement. And of course I object to the whole philosophy of land ownership in the land acknowledgement. Right. But then more pointedly, what happened last fall was we have a local, a very big local Christian university called Grand Canyon University.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure.
And one of the other faculty members was talking about having bumped into some Grand Canyon University students, and he was quizzing them on, they were taking classes at Grand Canyon in the subject he teaches, and he was kind of quizzing them on it and reporting back to us how they weren't doing well. They just don't get a good education at Grand Canyon. And the reason he gave was, he said, well, they're evangelicals, not scholars.
Mm.
And I mean, I kind of count myself as an evangelical. So I thought, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You just maligned a whole religion. I mean, wow. I understand there's competition between ASU and GCU.
Yeah.
But imagine if it was any other religion that had been said. Yeah. And so I brought that up, and that's when I was told, you know, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it doesn't compared to other religions.
Right. Those Muslims are idiots.
Thanks.
Imagine if you said that.
Thanks, Gabe. Yeah, you're fired. Public houses or pubs are not just places to drink beer, wine, cider, or even something a little stronger. It's also a unique social center, very often the focus of community life in villages, towns, and cities throughout the world. We here at Cross Politic hope to emulate that for you and yours.
That's, we want to be your pub.
That's why you should grab yourself a pub membership at FightLeftFeast.com. We need you on this ride with us. So pull up a chair, grab a pint, and join us on this ride at FightLeftFeast.com. Join the pub. And is it for a limited time or just until supplies last?
For this?
Forever and ever? Oh. You get Swirly Joe's coffee?
Yeah. So we started actually talking with Squirrely Joe.
Yeah.
We started a new corporate. Who's a
real person named Squirrely Joe.
Squirrely Joe. Yeah.
Real
and,
person.
It's poor, Mr. Squirrely Joe.
Poor kid.
We have a new, we started a new corporate benefit program to our club members.
Okay.
Where, and Squirrely Joe's an example of this, where he's going to send a bag of coffee to any club member that signs up. Free bag coffee. He's going to go to our club member. So any club member that signs up gets free bag coffee. But we're also, because it's such a great idea that I came up with through this process, we're going to expand that to any corporate partner that wants to sign up to our benefits. They can send
something to the new.
And I would love to have like 30 companies sending benefits to our new.
What if people just say, I'm going to wait and see. I'm just going to wait and see till I get 30 things.
Yeah.
They might not want to join.
It's a sad life. You know, it's really hard for them. But I do want to, the benefit for the corporate partners, they get a product in front of our club member, and they get to, you know, they can even send like a welcome packet with it, a flyer or something like that. But they can also send like a QR code and say, hey, come to our website and we'll give you a discount on your first purchase. And they can drive branding.
So join the pub, get a bag of coffee right now.
And I'm drinking Squirrelies right now. That's what we're having.
That's what we're doing. Okay. Dr. Anderson, one of the things I want to ask you about is, it seems like it's not just that DEI training is false and wrong, anti-Christian.
Well, that's true.
Anti-American. I mean, it is. Yeah, it is all that. But it also seems like it's actually making everything worse. Are you seeing that on campus there? Like, I mean, it's like in the name of helping people get along, are they actually getting along better?
Yeah, I think you could do empirically study and say, no, they're not. Because my intuition would be, no, they're not. But I think that the data would show that as well, because basically DEI teaches class and race hatred. It teaches you to hate your neighbor because they have stuff that you don't have. And then you rationalize it and say, and they got that stuff unfairly. And so you should have the government step in, take their stuff and redistribute it. And so all forms of Marxism always have this problem that they don't teach any way to actually have unity together. It's always this economic focus. And I think that's one of the things that happens for university students, is that the young student comes to university and there's something in us where we recognize the world has problems and we'd like to contribute to changing them. But the only thing they hear at the university is this kind of economic oppression talk. Everyone's either an oppressor or an oppressed.
Right.
And so they jump into that and they start, we actually have programs about how to be an activist, right? State money is being used to teach college kids how to be a liberal activist.
Yeah.
And they think that that's really going to help change the world, when in fact, time and time again, every time you look at it, is completely failing. And because they've banished God, the Bible, all that stuff from the university, they don't have any actual useful answers, and so they have to grasp at this kind of stuff.
What's it like right now? I mean, right in the news, I mean, we got a bunch of anti-Jewish protests going on. What are you seeing that at ASU as well?
Yeah, we actually had one start up. I believe it was on Friday at down at one of our campuses, and the administration, our president, went to, got his PhD from Columbia. So Columbia is the place where it's just a mess.
Right, right.
And so I think ASU learned their lesson from that. And they told the protesters, you got to leave by 11. The protesters didn't leave. And so they had the police come in and clear out the camp. Okay. So I'm kind of waiting to see what happens if they're going to start again. But the protesters put up their demands. And it's just the same kinds of demands that we saw back with Black Lives Matter. It's things like defund the police, et cetera. But now it's aimed at Judaism.
Yeah.
And I think this is really strange because you all of a sudden have all this anti-Semitism coming out of the radical left.
Right. Right. Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, unpack that. I mean, why? Well, I mean, in here we are, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
And hate Jews.
Except for Jews. Evangelicals and Jews.
Yeah, that's right.
Why that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think behind all of it is a theological answer.
Right.
That. We had Dennis Prager come to campus last spring, and our honors professors wrote a letter about how he's a white nationalist bigot.
Okay.
And so when I was on a show, I said, hey, did you know they called you a white nationalist bigot? And he said, yeah, that's the first time I've ever been called that. I've been called lots of names, but not that. And so he has a series of commentaries on Genesis and the rest of the Pentateuch.
And Deuteronomy.
And they're pretty conservative.
Yeah.
So I think theologically, that's the real answer.
Right.
But socially, I think what's going on is you probably heard of something called decolonization.
Yeah.
That always goes with DEI. So they want to decolonize the world, and you're either a colonizer or you're colonized. And so the state of Israel is a colonizer and a settler. Yeah. And so they get lumped in with all the rest of the colonizers, and they're not very fine-tuned. They're not able to distinguish Judaism as a religion from Israel as a state. And so they just kind of lump it all together.
Dr. Anderson, what about the flip side of this? So one of the things that we've talked about some is there's a temptation, I think, for conservatives. I think over the last number of years, maybe since COVID especially, there's more and more red pilling going on where people kind of open their eyes and see like, oh my goodness, I've been lied to, all this stuff. And then there's a temptation to sort of what we've called, black pilling, completely going... you take what you've been trained in, maybe even that DEI stuff, and it's almost like you just accept the terms of it. And so there's like, we've noticed some people being like, so they're blaming the whites for everything. And then they're finally like, yeah, fine. I do think whites are the best, or, I do hate, whoever, are you seeing any of that backlash happening on the conservative side at all?
Well, I definitely see it on the internet. I'm not around any of it personally, but it is trouble me because that's what fuels all my radical colleagues. So, and I don't even have to say that, pretty much they're all radical, but my colleagues will look at that material and then they'll say that's the Christians.
Yeah.
And they'll dismiss everyone. And what's so funny about that is these are professors who are trained, many of them are philosophy professors who are trained to think carefully and not use straw man attacks against their opponents.
Right.
But when it comes to this stuff, I keep an eye on their social media because it's so useful when I teach logic to show my students, you could have a trained professor and when they disagree with you, they just resort to simple ad hominem attacks. And so that's what's troubling is they use those kinds of materials as if it represents the standard Christian. But that's why what you guys are doing is so important is we do need to teach Christians how to have courage in our day and be able to stand up and defend what's true and good and beautiful in the world. And we don't want to let that other side, which represents still a really bad kind of hatred, get all the attention.
You know, it's amazing to me how the mainstream media is covering these protests. And there's no mention of the racism towards the Jews.
Right.
Like there's like, oh, another protest at Columbia or here, this is happening here. They're just kind of stating like the facts of it a little bit. Okay.
It's really rare. Jewish students couldn't go back to Columbia classes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like their lives are at risk trying to go on their college campus. There's this one viral video going around with this gal who I think she's at ASU. She's going around. Her graduation at her university got canceled.
Okay.
She's because of the whole riots.
Protests.
And protests. And it got canceled and she's just kind of bemoaning the fact that her high school graduation got canceled because of COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then now her university graduation. So she's missed her graduations.
Right.
And now because of these protests, she's missing her graduation again. But everyone's going to get labeled Christian nationalists. That's what the left wants to do. And then they say Christian nationalists are racist.
For them, Christian nationalists and white nationalists mean the same thing.
It's the same thing, right? We'd push back and say, no, Christian nationalists and white nationalists is not the same thing. It's not racist. But with the precision that you were talking about, with what they're trying to do with Christian nationalism and just trying to do the big blurry thing, and the same way they're obfuscating or ignoring the racism in their own house with the Palestinian protests or whatever. I think Black Lives Matter very much is the foundation or they're the same group. They're the same people basically.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at these protests, the pro-Palestine protests, they all have the exact same tent. Like if you're just doing if someone says, hey, let's go camping and we all bring our own tents, we've all got a different tent from our garage.
Wow.
Yeah, those going viral. The
same exact tent. Who's funding this?
Wow.
That picture was going viral and Elon Musk retweeted it.
Really?
And it, all these green, I think green and gray tents, mm-hmm. the same tents are all over.
But I think the essence of DEI really is racist, because the essence of DEI, I read some of these to you, like how to tell a poor, broke white person about their privilege. This is the essence of racism. You divide people up based on their skin color, and then you attribute things to them because of their skin color.
Right.
Yeah. And so DEI just makes it worse.
Yeah. Wow. So you're a pastor, Dr. Anderson.
Yeah.
As well as a professor. How do you think about this? I mean, so you have your 9-to-5, you have your day job, you're bivocational, you're philosophy and religion instructor. And I know these things overlap heavily, but, mm-hmm. but you've got a role there at the university, but you also are leading a group of people on the Lord's Day. How do you think about preaching and leading your people, in a world like this?
Well, and I think kind of these two jobs in a classical sense where they overlap a lot, professor and pastor. But I think, the days we live in one sense, they're very dark. But I remember hearing a sermon by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he was preaching this in the 1960s, sexual revolution stuff. But I think things have gotten worse since then. But he said in this sermon that he's thankful for the kind of age he lives in, because in the Victorian era, everyone went to church socially. But many of them weren't Christians at all, where he said in his day, the lines are clearly drawn and we know where the battle is. And I thought that was a good kind of motivational way to think about it, is the lines are clearly drawn. And maybe 20 or 30 years ago, we thought there was something in the public area called neutral ground, where we all got together and it didn't really matter what your religion is. And what we're seeing is, no, there's no neutral ground.
Right.
The radical left calls Christians bigots. They want to get Christianity erased from the public sphere. And so Christians just need to be aware of that and be ready to defend their faith and be ready to champion the cause of God.
Yeah. I think too, it's, being in a dark place, that means like the light shines just that much more brightly.
Yep.
And we've talked on the show quite a bit, but like the bar has gotten so like radically low in certain respects where it's like, get married, stay married, have a happy family, and you will stand out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. You're married? You've been married for longer than 5 years. You actually like each other. How many kids do you have? And do you like being with? And like that is itself like this bright light in a dark place where they're claiming, real community or whatever. And they're starving for real community.
Yeah.
And there was a book a few years ago about how many benefits a child gets from having parents that stay married.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating is about the DEI stuff is they took that as a negative. In other words, instead of saying, okay, we need to encourage people to stay married, what they said was, well, but we have a lot of kids that parents didn't stay married, so we need to erase the benefits that come with having parents stay married people don't have privilege. That's part of white privilege, having parents that stay married.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait, what? How did you get that lesson from the book?
Yeah.
That's like the Protestant work ethic. It's racist.
Yeah. Family privilege. Family privilege. Dual.
Well, you've probably seen memes that go around there. I've seen a few versions of it, but it has a mom and a dad with three or four kids in church, and it says the new radicals.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I got a question here from Jesse, and he's kind of asking the question, you know, should we be picking a side in this? Should we be, you know, on the Jew side or on the protest, you know, what it,
Palestinian?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, besides the bad stuff, you know, who do we sympathize with? Doctor, we'll let you
hang. Well, I mean, the attack in October was just straight racism aimed at women and children in Israel. So I think in terms of an attack on one of our allies, we recognize Israel as an ally, because, and we don't want to confuse Israel with Judaism. Israel as a state has many different religions, in, including Christianity. But I mean, I think even with that said, everyone cautions Israel in their retaliation to obey international humanitarian laws.
I would say there's a difference between targeting women and children and the possibility that some of their retaliation
has
landed on women and children, which is not good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it all would have been over if Hamas would have freed the prisoners months ago.
Right. Yeah.
So to put, that's one thing you will not hear at these protests is anyone saying that. They'll say Israel needs to stop. Well, wait a minute. Why won't Hamas free the prisoners?
Right.
I got kind of a last question here. I mean, you already brought secularism into this discussion, the idea that there's basically a public neutrality or something like that. And I think that along with Gnosticism has just been awful to our church. We've bought into some form of view of secularism, and we've bought into a lot of Gnostic views on our faith. But I think particularly in our job, this has been a problem, secularism, where I think a lot of, you know, good-minded or good-intentioned Christians would go and work at universities and kind of keep their faith from the discussions in the boardroom or in the discussions in the faculty meeting or whatever. And then in the name of, well, I work for, you know, ASU, and, you know, I'm not here to share the gospel. I'm here to work for them, you know, some kind of, you know, version of that. But all that is done is just created a massive vacuum for the leftists to come in and push their agenda and views and DEI. And so that process, 100%. I think, has been awful. You know, last question, you got any commentary on that?
Well, 100%. That's right. Because what happened was Christianity, they'll say, keep religion out of the public square. But radical leftism, DEI, decolonizing Marxism, that's not a religion.
Right.
And so they've had free reign of preaching their stuff, advocating their stuff on the state dime in the universities. And I think we need to wise up and realize, wait, that's just as much a religion. There's no neutral ground. And if we believe that Christ claims all areas of life, the way I put it is this: the secular means this world. And I think one thing I think Christians have failed to do is they fail to affirm how general revelation declares the glory of God. So the secular world equally declares the glory of God, and Christians should be ready to witness to that rather than saying, okay, this is a place where I don't talk about Christianity.
Right. Right.
So Psalm 19. We should go into the secular and sing Psalm 19.
Amen. Amen.
I love that. So I'm going to pull an audible here.
Oh, you're going to pull it?
I'm going to pull it.
We usually call audibles.
Cut! Dr. Anderson, thank you so much for coming on the show. Neil, tee up a commercial here in a second. Where can people find out more about you, Dr. Anderson?
Yeah, if you go to my Substack, so substack.com, and look for Dr. Owen Anderson, you'll see this material I'm doing. And then I post a lot of stuff on Twitter, and I've got a YouTube channel as well. I just interviewed Joe Rigney a couple weeks ago about general revelation. So I got that video up on my YouTube channel. I usually have the same name on all of them, Dr. Owen Anderson.
Yeah. Very good. Well, that's great. Keep up the good work, man.
Yeah, and
thanks for having me here.
Everyone, hang around. We're gonna go take a just a 60-second break here, and we'll come back. Stick around. We got some. I want to talk about your new civic stuff coming up that we're dropping. Talk about some stuff we're doing with Water Break and some stuff that I just want to communicate with the public. We're gonna answer some questions live. Dr. Anderson, thank you for coming on the show. We'll be back in a minute.